God damn, I love fucking Lamb of God. How is it going, everybody? Welcome to the comic shoot with Derek over there.
Hello.
Say hello, Derek.
Hi.
No, I'm not going to say hello.
I did say hello.
Apparently we're having sound issues. Welcome to the unedited, unabashed, uncensored, unintelligent. No, I'm just kidding. Today we're going to talk about Spider-Man, Ultimate Spider-Man, Superior Spider-Man, Unsure of Himself Spider-Man, Erectile Dysfunction Spider-Man, all the Spider-Man we can talk about.
Definitely.
Before we jump into that, especially with this show, I just want to remind everybody that some of the views and opinions expressed on this show might not be for everybody. They also might not represent everybody and allcomic.com or the people that work for it. However you want to justify that. But we have a big show. We have an hour. There is a lot of Spider-Man to talk about. So let's talk about Miles over in the Ultimate Universe. Pretty much the only book worth reading in the Ultimate Universe, quite frankly. And pretty much has been since he started back in, what was that, 2012 they had his first series start?
Yes. Yeah, that was in 20... What, wasn't it 2012?
Well, he first appeared in Ultimate Fallout number 4, August 2011.
Yeah, wait, I think it was 2011, that, like, the late...
Yeah, it must have been... Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
late... the relaunch Ultimate Comics Spider-Man series in September. I didn't realize it was that quickly.
Yes, yeah.
For those that don't know, Miles took over being Spider-Man when, spoiler alert from a couple of years ago, Peter Parker in the Ultimate Universe died.
Oh, what?
I know. Sorry. And this one, this one's actually stayed dead, too, so, you know, fingers crossed. Miles has been, he wasn't received very well because of his, how should I put this? His skin color, I guess.
Yeah,
His
he was a little too dark for Whitey.
Yeah. Yeah. Without saying it too terribly, a lot of people weren't happy. He's, half Hispanic and half African American or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, to all the people that had said that at the beginning or said they wouldn't read it because no Peter Parker and because, quote-unquote, there was a black Spider-Man, they missed out and, you know, good riddance. You don't even notice. The color of his skin doesn't matter. He's Spider-Man in the Ultimate Universe, and that's all that matters.
Exactly.
So, Derek, what was your first thoughts when you picked up the series?
I've been picking up Ultimate since issue one, and to tell you the truth, it was kind of going downhill for me. I was actually considering, just after all those years, just kind of dropping it. So I actually was excited. I had faith that Bendis could do something cool with him, and turns out I was absolutely correct.
Yeah, Bendis is, you know what, I kind of like to think of Miles as the beginning of the red-hot Bendis run that he's had.
Yes.
I think that's a pretty good point. I know before Bendis was kind of up and down a little bit. Some stuff where it was, you know, great, some stuff was still good, but it wasn't, you know, maybe the caliber of stuff that he's doing now. But I definitely think that, you know, when Parker died in the Ultimate Universe and Miles kind of came about and Bendis, you know, took over and the new series started, that really launched him into, you know, another chapter of his career. I mean, he's been doing writing for longer than I care to look up. And it just, he's been red hot, man. I mean, how many series does he write every month? Like 5 or 6? And they've all been good.
Yeah, he does quite a bit. He did a few Image books that were kind of in the mid to late 90s. And then he moved over to Marvel and, you know, started his, you know, ultimate. He was kind of somewhat of an unknown, you know, when he started Ultimate Spider-Man, and that's, you know, that's his claim to fame now. That's his baby.
Oh, for sure. I don't foresee or really think that anybody else should or could touch Miles for at least some time now. Like, the character is Bendis' character. Like, I can't even think of who I would imagine that could write the character. Even some of the stuff I've read, which isn't much, but like the Ultimate stuff that was written by, Filecoff,
yeah,
Joshua Filecoff, or how?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but I know who you're talking about.
He says he has it, the pronunciation, on his Twitter account. I just don't have it up, so I should have done that. Sorry, Joshua.
We apologize.
you know, some of the stuff that he's written has actually been pretty good with Miles, but I don't know if I could really see anybody else just taking over the whole series. So, that being said, this has been going on, obviously, what do we say, September 2011.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of ups and downs. I think that the most recent arc before this Galactus stuff,
yeah,
was a little weaker.
It's just full of characters that I kind of don't really care about.
Yeah, like Cloak and Dagger, for example. I mean, I can't say I've read much of them at all, and I mean, it's great that, you know, Bendis wants to bring in these younger people, but it kind of felt like Miles took a backseat for a while.
Yes, exactly.
They did the almost cliche now Spider-Man No More for a while as well. Again, I think that was kind of, I mean, I understand why, spoiler alert, again, everybody, if you haven't read this series, that's your fucking loss. You should be reading it. Miles's mom gets killed by the Venom in the Ultimate Universe, more or less. So Miles is obviously sad and it hurts and he's crying and he's upset. And so he doesn't want to be Spider-Man anymore because he doesn't want to get people hurt because he feels Venom killed his mother because they followed him home and, you know, she ended up getting killed in the crossfire, so to speak.
So, did you read the latest Cataclysm issue?
I haven't read number 3, no.
Okay.
No, I ended up reading whoever reviewed it for us. I can't remember who did it. Dan, I guess.
Yes.
Panucci. I read his review. I tried not to read it too hard. I mean, I had to obviously edit it, so I still had to kind of read it. But, you know, he kind of poo-pooed it, but I have not read it myself.
I don't know. I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty awesome.
Well, I mean, are they going to... You figure you have to read the Ultimate stuff, or the Ultimate's final last stand, whatever the hell, to really get good closure, or what?
Towards the end, yeah. But you don't necessarily, like, you could read those 3 issues and totally get what's going on.
Yeah, and be fine with that until the relaunch?
Yeah.
We're kind of getting ahead of ourselves there, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
The Spider-Man No More, I just wanted to touch on.
Yeah, sure.
Obviously was cliche, and...
Yeah, definitely.
I think that those, I would say, what, 5-6 issues?
What was that? Yeah, I think it was 5.
Yeah, probably arc worth, right?
Yeah.
I think they really built the character up, but it was kind of a shame to see them rehashing the same stupid thing and using the same cover where the Spider-Man costume is in the garbage can and he's walking away. And, you know, it's been done too many times.
Yeah.
You know, I guess at the end of the day we had... You know, we had a fair amount of character building and, you know, it was good. And he obviously came back and that kind of stuff. But I don't know. What did you think of that? Did you kind of shake your head when you saw the cover for the first time?
I actually liked it because I'm actually a big fan of that particular story arc. The Spider-Man No More Amazing Spider-Man number 50. I absolutely, you know, and I'm a big fan of the Marvel Masterworks collections and whatnot. So I've actually had a chance to read all of these old issues, whereas before, you know, it was hard to get your hands on this stuff because it was never collected before. Unless you had a couple $1 million to buy all these issues, you couldn't really get your hands on them.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed and I liked the little, you know, I liked the little ode to it. But although when I started reading it, it was perhaps a little too much like it, and you know, and also there wasn't enough focus on Miles and his family. I think it was more like focusing on these other characters, and unfortunately, you know, no offense to Bendis, but he didn't really give us a whole lot of reason to care about them.
Yeah, I think so too. They kind of it felt like they kind of came out of nowhere. It was just like, hey, all of a sudden Miles has got a couple of buddies, and you know, Spider-Woman likes him again or something, and hey, they're going to kick some ass. I don't know. I like that I guess now that we already talked about it, everybody, the Ultimate Universe isn't ending, in case anybody thought that was going to happen.
What? No, I was going to say that I was actually really, really hoping that Galactus was just going to destroy everything and then Miles could like come over to the 616 or something.
Oh, totally. I think that would be amazing, but no pun intended. But, you know, I mean... Just think about it. Miles could have jumped over to the 616. They could have restarted Amazing Spider-Man. It could have been Miles doing it. You know?
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of possibilities there, but you can almost understand why Bendis would want to kind of keep Miles away from the, I don't want to say the confusing 616, but Earth 616 or whatever, Universe 616 is kind of, there's a lot of stuff going on right now.
Yeah, it's, well, oh yeah, it's completely convoluted, and I actually feel bad for anybody that wants to hop in. And I actually get that complaint a lot from people. People who, you know, have been reading other stuff for a while, or people who, you know, have seen the movies and they're like, oh, hey, you know, I really like the Avengers or whatever. I want to get into these books. Where should I start? And I'm just like, oh, my God, I don't even know. I don't even know what to tell them anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you can't, like, the Marvel Now stuff, like Jonathan. Unedited, folks. I can't talk, so here you go.
Yeah. Yes.
The Jonathan Hickman Avengers, like, you can't even point somebody there because there's so many layers to Hickman's Avengers. You know, it's like, hey, you know what? Go read Stan Lee and Jack Kirby's, like, Masterwork, Volume 1, and that you get some history on the Avengers, and then kind of pick and choose from there, you know? Like, I agree. So moving Miles to 616 would just be too much. It'd be, you know, who's this Spider-Man? I mean, if I guess, you know, thinking about it now, if they would have made Miles Amazing Spider-Man, if that would have happened, that would really confuse the movie idiots that don't know what's going on.
Exactly. Yeah. Somebody actually asked me, you know, hey, I've been wanting to get into Avengers books. Can I start with Avengers World? And I told them no.
Oh, yeah. Hell no.
No.
I keep bringing up Avengers. I can't even imagine where I would send somebody. I don't even know where to begin.
Honestly, like, if they had money to blow, I would just throw them at... I would start them with Avengers Disassembled and then just go from there.
Oh, yeah. That's a, what, mid-2000s, though?
That was, like, what, 2005? 2004
through 2005? Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's a big pickup for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, that's like 8-9 years worth of stuff.
Oh, yeah. See, even I haven't gone that far back yet. We're getting off topic here, man.
So yeah, we are.
Unedited. We just like Spider-Man so much. We want to talk about everything, guys.
We do.
The new Ultimate Universe status quo, I guess you want to call it.
Yeah.
Has been announced. It'll be up on All Comic on Monday. I haven't done it yet because, you know, I'm lazy, I guess. No, I'm just kidding. I just got too much stuff going on. It looks like whatever happens, there's going to be a Miles, I want to say, how do you say his last name? Morales?
I always call him Morales.
Yeah, okay. That's what I figured. His original title right now is, All New Ultimate Comic Spider-Man or something like that. And the new one's going to be Miles Morales Ultimate Spider-Man. So it sounds like he's going to get front and center, more so maybe than the last 10 or so issues have really had him. Yep. He kind of been a backseat to Galactus and to the stupid Cloak and Dagger people. And
wait, isn't there like an Ultimates type book with him in it?
There's the All New Ultimates as well.
Okay.
With Michael Fife, and I'm not even going to say the artist's name.
Okay.
Apparently it's got Spider-Man, Black Widow, formerly Spider-Woman, so I think I missed something there, Kitty Pryde, Bombshell, and Cloak and Dagger.
Okay.
And then there's the Ultimate FF, which is Filecov.
Yeah, isn't Tony Stark on that team?
Yeah, Sue Storm, Tony Stark, Machine Man, and Sam Wilson.
Oh, that's kind of cool, actually.
So they're going to, I don't know, what is the little catch line here or whatever? It says spring of 2014, the FF, so it's actually, they're calling it the Future Foundation for the Ultimate. So that's a cool little Hickman thing leaking into the Ultimate Universe.
Definitely.
Is all that stands between the Ultimate Universe and complete and utter doom. So something crazy and wacky is going on over there. The Miles Morales one is teasing something about a big villain from Peter Parker's past is alive and well and about to turn New York City upside down. So,
ruh-roh.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm definitely interested that they called it, you know, Miles Morales. You know, make sure he's front and center.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm going to be curious how it kind of connects to All New Ultimates, because the Ultimates was Thor and Iron Man, and I don't even read it. So yeah. I know Thor is there.
Yeah, I'll probably at least pick up those two Miles books. The other ones, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, just to see how this Michael Fife guy or whatever handles Miles, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was announced. We got Galactus didn't destroy anything, apparently.
Boo.
You guys can breathe a sigh of relief.
That sucks.
Yeah, you know what? I was definitely hoping that that they just blew it all up. You know, let them eat everything, let them do everything.
Well, it's so convoluted now. That entire, you know, universe is, it's become almost as convoluted as the 616, and you know, they think that this is going to be a good jumping on point, and for some people it will be, but for other people it's going to be just as confusing as it was. Actually more confusing.
Well, I remember I was looking at Ultimate stuff, and I was reading something, or somebody said something, and they're like, oh yeah, Reed Richards is a bad guy. I'm like, what? Like, how the hell did that happen? And then they started talking about it, and I'm like, you know what? I'm out. I'm not even going to go back and read those patches. Like, it was just so much stuff for something that the idea of the Ultimate Universe was kind of starting at ground zero and, you know, make it relatively easy, yeah. But they could do different stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty. That was the whole point, and now it's essentially only for those people, like those kids that essentially grew up with Ultimate Spider-Man, like as like their comic.
Yeah, yeah, the Ultimate super fanboys.
Yes, exactly. That's pretty much what those books are for. It's just to appease like that niche market.
When they relaunched or rebooted or however you want to call it, when they had all those Ultimate books, when the all-new Spider-Man came out.
Yes.
And they had, like, Ultimate X-Men and Ultimate this. I read a couple of them for 4 or 5 issues.
Yeah.
I just had absolutely no fucking idea what was going on. The only one that I could follow was Miles because I happened to read some of the Fallout stuff
where yeah.
Parker died. And I had to go back and get those, obviously, because I didn't know. Like, all of a sudden, I'm reading that Miles is on the cover. It's like, who is this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I bought Ultimate Spidey the whole time, but the other ones I dropped years ago. I haven't read Ultimate X-Men in years.
From the one that I read a couple of years ago was bad. Like it didn't make sense to me. I didn't know what was going on. Like where is half these characters? It was just weird.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know a lot of people are dead, and I know like. Wolverine was dead, and then they regretted it, and so they like brought his son in, and then
that must have been the Wolverine. Then I was gonna say, I'm pretty sure I read something with Wolverine in it, but yeah, must have been his kid.
Yeah, it's his kid because Wolverine's currently dead, but they just have his kid who's essentially Wolverine. So
yeah, yeah, except his name's you know John or whatever instead of
Logan. Yeah. Yeah, and he's nowhere near as interesting.
Things that you never thought people would say about Wolverine, eh?
Exactly.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? I think that overall, I think Bendis has done a really good thing. I think he really needs to continue to be the architect of the Ultimate Universe. I think if they kind of say, you know, Bendis, we still want you to write in the 616. We still want you to do all your X-Men stuff, because that is still really good. But you know, we'll kind of put the Ultimate under your hat or whatever. And as long as, you know, Fialkov and this Michael Fife guy kind of report to Bendis or, you know, bounce ideas off him, and you kind of get a, you know, a cohesive unit of writers and stuff, I think this new relaunch could be pretty good. It could be easy to follow. I mean, it's only 3 books, at least for right now. I mean, it looks like they've kind of blended some of the X-Men into the Ultimates. So you know, it could be a good turning point for the Ultimate Universe. I'll definitely pick up the Miles stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about the FF stuff. I don't even know who Sam Wilson is. Machine Man sounds familiar, but...
Falcon.
Oh, okay. Why the hell don't they just call him Falcon, then?
I'm not sure. You know what? I don't think... If I'm remembering correctly, I don't think they actually call him Falcon that much.
Like, in 616?
No, in 616 they do. I mean in the Ultimate. I don't think they do.
Okay, well, see, and the name did kind of sound familiar to me, but I definitely would not have placed that. I don't know. I'll definitely check it out. I think, like I said, Bendis is on a roll, and I don't think he's going to stop anytime soon, and I hope that eventually they decide to blow up the Ultimate Universe, and we get Miles in the 616.
Oh, that would be awesome.
You know, make this like a little teaser, you know, like they're going to push you right to the edge and be like, no, we're just kidding. And then, you know, 2 years down the road, okay, we're going to do it this time.
See, personally, I think there could be room for both. I think that there could be that there's room for Miles and Peter in the 616.
Whoa. He's not Peter Parker anymore, all right? spoiler alert, everybody that doesn't No, I agree. I mean, I definitely wouldn't want them to like do what they did with Agent Venom and put him in Philadelphia or whatever the hell.
I can't tell. I actually enjoyed those issues.
Well, no. I liked them too. But what I'm saying is, if Miles were to come there, like he'd have to be in New York. You know what I mean?
That was kind of. Although I will admit, the whole Philadelphia thing with Venom was kind of dumb.
Yeah, it just. I understand. You know, let's put him somewhere else and try something a little bit different. But you know, if Miles and Spider Ock Parker thing, you know, it'd be cool just to see them both there. I mean, they almost need to do like a Spider-Man. Part two or whatever you want to call it, where, you know, either Miles comes to 616 or Spidey Ock goes back to the Ultimate again, but he doesn't remember what's going on. And Miles, you know, a little confused why he's basically Dr. Octopus. I think that could be a cool little graphic novel or even 5-part mini again.
Yeah, that would be cool. And also, speaking of, spider type people in other cities, Scarlet Spider actually, you know, just ended last month, and that was a very that was a great series.
You know what? I fell off Scarlet after I was into the 20s. I don't know exactly what issue, but I don't know. It wasn't doing it for me. I liked it. It was good. I don't know how it ended. I don't know where he actually is right now in the Marvel or in the 616. But
him and that girl he was taken care of.
The crazy psychic or whatever.
Yeah. They actually moved down to Mexico and they have all this drug money. so they're just living on a beach right now and they sort of just left it like that. But he's going to be in that that new Defenders book.
Oh, we're having a new Defenders book?
Yeah. No, not New Warriors. I'm sorry. Defenders. Yeah. He's going to be in that new Warriors book.
Right. Okay, that's why you threw me off, because I remember hearing the Warriors thing, and now you're calling it Defenders, and it's like, well,
yeah.
I guess he can do both if he really wants to.
Yeah, sure.
He's rich and lives in Mexico. He can do whatever he wants.
Exactly.
but, unfortunately, we love Ultimate and we love Miles. There's some stuff we don't quite like in the 616, I would say, putting it lightly.
Yeah.
And that is the artist formerly known as Amazing Spider-Man, currently Superior Spider-Man.
When you say that, I just think of like Spider-Man like doing like some sort of like Prince dance.
But he's gonna party like it's 1999.
Exactly.
You know what? The fact that they call the series Superior Spider-Man is kind of ironic, but we'll get to that though. I just want to start off by saying Derek has read pretty much all of it.
Oh yeah.
I got back into comics and actually picked up Amazing Spider-Man. I would say mid 600s. So I remember it was around the big time stuff. So 650, 648, something like that. I can't find it at this exact second. Spider-Man big time was 648, 651.
Yeah, 648 is when that started. He actually started before he actually wrote a few of the like Brand New Day kind of stuff.
Back at 546 and 548 and stuff. I see that there.
Yeah. So
but he had almost been doing it for like 100 issues before I jumped on.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I'll never go back to that stuff, quite frankly.
You know what? I'm going to really shit on him here in a minute, but in his defense, some of it isn't the worst, but it's nowhere. It's just not. The best way to describe Slott, I think, is like I think he would be really, really awesome if he wrote the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon. I think that's the best way to describe him.
You saying he's a little goofy or something?
No, not
because the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon is pretty damn good and it's clever and it's, you know, it's funny.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just that there's a certain I don't know. There's a certain it factor that like certain comic book writers have, and for me, he just doesn't have it.
Well, you know what? I remember some of those earlier ones. I remember Spider-Man being part of the Fantastic Four and his cool ass white suit and stuff. I remember liking that stuff. I like his anti-venom stuff.
Yeah.
Spider Island was pretty weak.
I hate Spider Island.
Yeah, it went on too long, and yeah. I didn't do it for me. I felt like anti-venom was like, hey, I'm gonna create this character, but I've already written Spider Island in the back of my head. I only created this character for Spider Island, and then he's gone again. For those that don't know, anti-venom was Eddie Brock. Something weird happened to the Venom symbiote, and we'll call him, he inversed himself, and he was white and black, and I don't even want to get into that.
Actually looking at a list of the issues that he's done, I actually like way less of it than I thought.
Oh, are you looking at the collected thing on Wikipedia?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I actually didn't like the vast majority of this. the Fantastic Four stuff was cool, and then it's all just garbage until Superior.
I wonder if we can, you know, maybe give some credit to Hickman for the Fantastic Four Spider-Man stuff being pretty good.
Yeah. I'll freely admit that I'm a Hickman fanboy.
Oh, definitely. Hickman's hell of a writer. I want to looking at this list now, though, like the Lizard stuff, I didn't really read. Danger Zone, I didn't really read. I didn't really read much of the like 698 to 700 stuff. Yeah. I knew what was going on. I mean, I did read 700, but
wait. Okay, wait, Danger Zone. Wait, that was the I think that was the
Alpha stuff, wasn't it?
No, that was right before that. No, that was the
right before that.
The Hobgoblin stuff.
Oh, yeah, I didn't read that then.
Yeah,
I don't like all the Goblin stuff that's going on. I never liked the Hobgoblin as a character, and I definitely didn't like it that he was whatever the hell the young kid at the Bugle, whatever the hell his name was.
As a kid who grew up in the late 80s and 90s and watched the 90s Spider-Man cartoon, I sort of have no choice but to love Hobgoblin.
It was cool, but in the comics wise, I haven't liked him since. Or yet, I guess.
Well, if you're reading slot writing him, then that's your problem right there.
obviously we've gone up to 700. The biggest question is, what did you think of issue 700? And spoiler alert again, everybody, because you've been living under a rock. Peter Parker getting brain swapped with Dr. Octopus's dying body and eventually dying, and then Dr. Octopus taking over Peter Parker and Parker being like a Jedi mind ghost thing for a while, and it just hurts my brain to repeat this. What did you think of the end of Amazing and the beginning of Superior?
Absolutely hated it, and it's not because like oh, you're getting rid of Parker, you can't do that. Like, it had nothing to do with that. I thought it was a terrible story. It had absolutely zero emotion. I read that and I was just like, yeah, I don't give a shit. Whatever. and that's pretty bad that, you know, this is like, you know, the quote unquote last issue of Amazing Spider-Man. It's done forever. and to not, you know, somebody who's been reading this for years and years, not to even get like anything out of me. I'm just like, whatever. Like it was just blah. And I hated the way that they did it. And like the swapping brains and everything, it was too much of a soap opera guiding light kind of thing. Like there was an episode of the sitcom Friends. There was actually an episode of Friends where Joey, right, who is an actor, actually, that's actually a plot. When he's Dr. Drake Ramore, there was actually a plot line in Days of Our Lives where there was like a brain swap, and I'm just like, they were making fun of that in a show. Like they were making fun of how ridiculous something like that is, and now you're doing it here and expecting people to take it seriously.
Well, Dan Slott was 100% serious, man. That was serious business.
Well, yeah, and also, you know, he was also trying to like egg people on to attack him because I think he likes the attention.
Oh, there we go. Okay, that's good segue to the other question then.
Yeah,
what did you think of the insane hype machine, Dan Slott attacking and death threats and people taking pitches of 700 in the toilet and what. Yeah. Like, it almost felt like it was manufactured.
Yeah, you know what? I think part of it was like the hype machine. Part of it was, you know, because, you know, they're trying to sell a book, and 700 sold well, and everybody hated this book so much. There were probably people like, hey, I wasn't gonna buy this, but man, everybody hates this so much. I have to see what this is about. So I'm sure that was part of it. And, you know, and there, you know, and then there's also, you know, there's, you know, a lot of people who, you know, still live, who still think that it's like the late 80s, early 90s, and books like this are going to be worth $10 million. So you have those buttheads too.
Yeah, that's definitely a topic for another time, but I just gotta say, anybody that's listened to this that believes that, sorry, but you're completely delusional. And yeah. I might even go so far to say you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, yeah. Let me just say this real quick. If your get rich quick scheme is to buy and sell comics at a huge markup, my suggestion would be to find another market to do that in.
You know, Amazing Spider-Man had like what, four reprints?
Yeah,
700, and they sold like 350,000 copies.
Yeah, something's not. Yeah, I actually had a I actually had a friend who bought five copies of Superman Unchained because he was just convinced that in like 10 years he was going to be able to pay for his kid's college tuition with those books.
Oh, I really wanted to save this for another show, but seriously, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, guys, Amazing Spider-Man or Superman, none of the shit that is made in the last, even I would say, almost 20 years.
Well, yeah, you can't sell it when everybody who wants a copy is going to get a copy.
Yeah.
Because,
The print, like, okay, Image Comics might do a limited run, and, you know, they'll make prints 3,000 or something.
Yeah.
And it'll blow up like Peter Panzerfaust, okay?
Yeah.
That's great. That'll sell for more money because it's limited. When Marvel or DC print a million fucking copies of something, it's going to be worth less than the Kleenex you just blew your nose on.
Exactly.
So... fuck people and marking up it on putting it on eBay for stupid prices, and I can't tell who's stupider, the people that do that or the people that buy it.
Yeah, well, all those books that are worth a lot of money, it's because they're in such limited, you know, quantity. That's why.
Well, yeah, but, like, the stuff printed in the 40s were printed. Yeah. There was like, you know, 4,000 of them ever, and that was it.
They didn't prints. Yeah, and they half the time that stuff was destroyed because they would recycle all the, like, all paper that they could find, they would just recycle that shit for the war effort. So, so a lot of that stuff didn't survive. And then you have things like Walking Dead number one, or like TMNT number one. Those had like print runs of like, you know, like TMNT had like an initial print run of, what was it, like 1,000 or 50?
2,000, I think, is what the comic book guy said. Man or whatever.
Yeah, it had a very, very low print run, and it became this huge thing. So think about it, you know, first printing issues, there's only so many, and, you know, and there's all these people that want it. So, yeah, it's going to be worth like $20,000 like it is. And then, you know, Walking Dead number one, they had like a print run of, if I'm not mistaken, like 5,000 to 6,000 copies.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So that's why that goes for like $900 to $1,000 or whatever.
You know what? I saw, I think when the Governor came out, the Governor stuff, because he was fairly early in the series, and number one, at one point I saw like $4,000 or $5,000. And there was bids. Like, it wasn't just to sell, there were bids.
Yeah, I always tell people, if you have those issues and you're planning on selling them, sell them right now, because they will never be worth what they are right now.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so everybody understands where we're coming with this now. Don't be stupid. Don't mark up comics that are that, you know, aren't going to be worth nothing. Don't hoard comics because you think they're going to pay for your fucking house or car or child's fucking spaceship in 10 years. Like, Christ, don't be stupid. Yes, we'll both give you that some comics might, like Derek's examples.
Yes.
But Marvel and DC, you're going to be lucky if they're worth the cover price in 10 years.
Yeah. If you're lucky, they'll be worth like 10, 20 bucks.
Yeah, maybe. Like, then that's going to be like, what, Batman number one from... Capullo and Snyder.
Yeah, you'll have those random ones like that'll be worth like, you know, like I said, 10, 20 bucks.
Maybe.
And that, yeah, that, and honestly, for books like that, that's the best he could, you know, that's the best you can hope for. And that guy that bought all those issues of Superman Unchained, that's pretty much like where he tops out. That's the best he could ever hope for that book, is maybe it'll be worth 10, 20 bucks.
And that's probably a limited thing, like within the next 5 years, and then it'll go down from there.
Yeah, exactly.
But hey, this is a live show. It's recorded. It's unedited.
Oh, yeah.
So we kind of went off on a little tangent there, folks.
Yeah, what were we talking about?
We went so far, we got so upset that we forgot what the hell we're talking about.
I know.
We need to steer the train back to Dan Slott and Superior.
Okay, yeah, back to Superior. Yeah,
it's really hard to call it Superior Spider-Man because it's not a superior book.
No, it is not. You know what? The first, what was it? Let me look here. It was like the first 3 to 5 issues I thought were pretty darn great.
Yeah, you were actually the reason that I went and picked them up, because I had sworn it off as soon as I read 700 and the terribleness. Like, again, I'm not a big Peter Parker fanboy. I didn't care that Peter Parker was dead / Jedi ghost / had, you know, Dr. Octopus tickling his brain and, you know, fondling Mary Jane. I didn't care about that. I cared about it not being well written, not being a good story, and not being, you know, something that I even gave a shit about.
Which is what Dan Slott is known for.
Yes. But I read the first 5 issues. I didn't loathe them. I didn't want to, you know, wipe my ass with them like some people did on Twitter. And, you know, I mean, that got way out of hand. But, They still, there's much better books out there.
Definitely.
Pretty much anything from Image Comics is better.
Definitely.
You'd almost pick an Image book at random, and it would be better.
Honestly, yeah, I could agree with that.
I stopped reading Superior after number 5. I almost picked up the big collection, the first big volume that came out.
Okay.
Until I noticed that it had 698 to 700 in it as well, plus 1 to 5. It's like, oh, I never want to read those issues ever again.
Oh, God, no.
So I stopped that, but I did pick it back up, and it's currently on my pull list, though hanging on by a web.
Hey-o.
That was terrible. I read the Spider-Man 2099 stuff, just more out of curiosity, and I like Ryan Stegman's art.
Stegman's great.
So, you know, that kind of brought me in. And then the Venom stuff now, I like Venom a lot, you know, so I was kind of interested to see what would happen.
I think that's boring as all heck. Which is pretty shocking, because I'm just like, man, it's Spider-Man and Venom. How do you mess that up? And they do.
Well, yeah, like that's the Joker and Batman of the Marvel world, you know. If I should be so bold, I guess there's maybe better, you know, better examples of that, but I would say in Spider-Man's realm, that is, you know, that's the big two. But, oh man, boring doesn't even cover it. Like, the Spider-Man 2099 stuff, super predictable. You knew what was going to happen. You knew he was going to be trapped there. You know, I honestly hadn't read the original 2099 stuff, and they were out of print until this came back, so I hadn't read them yet.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what this character was, and I kind of thought the character still read very 90s, and I didn't like him at all. Like, I didn't like this Miguel guy at all. He's got a wicked suit, but I just couldn't stand him. And I mean, I understand they're trying to use, like, you know, made up swears and languages from, you know, the year 2099.
When I was a kid, I actually picked up a lot of that Spider-Man 2099. And then as I got older, I went and, you know, scoured back, you know, back bins and whatnot to try to, you know, fill in that collection. And I think it's timeless in concept, but in execution it is not.
Yeah, I pretty much heard that Spider-Man and like Doom 2099 were the only ones even worth reading.
Oh yeah, no, the rest of it is absolutely, like, X-Men 2099 is horrendous.
Hey, just like the original X-Men run.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, just unreadable.
They had to emulate it.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Oh wow. Maybe it was.
That was their plan. Let's make it as terrible as the original Stan Lee X-Men.
Maybe it's more clever than we thought.
All of a sudden, Derek likes it.
Yes. Yes.
The Venom stuff, like you said as well, was boring. It is boring. I can't remember if the final issue is out yet or if that's this week. I can't remember.
Oh man, now I can't even remember.
Yeah, it's because they come out every 2 weeks, so people don't know you're.
I review that too, and I can't even remember.
Yeah, it's like you're paying $8 a month for lackluster Spider-Man, and I honestly don't know why I'm still reading it. It's got to be. It's Ryan Stegman and Venom are my justifications for still giving Marvel money for this superior book.
Yeah, it's so funny. I'm like looking at the Wikipedia page for Superior Spider-Man, and I'm like I'm reading this stuff, and I'm like I read these books. I swear I do, and I review them, and I'm looking at this stuff, and I'm like, wait a minute, when the hell did that happen? I guess it's just that bad and that boring that I just don't care.
Yeah, I just clicked onto the Superior Spider-Man stuff too, and I definitely, I don't know, it hasn't lived up to the hype that 700 number one, you know, did. I mean, number one sold again like 300,000 copies or something stupid.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, one of the best, wait, what sold for what?
The Superior Spider-Man number one sold a shit ton of copies as well.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, that sold a lot.
So, I mean, you know, people that like it, you know, power to you can like whatever you want. You know, it still sells, so we could be wrong, but I tend to be biased and say we're probably not.
yeah, exactly.
What's even next for Superior? What are they doing next? They're doing,
I think, next month is the whole Goblin Nation thing, which, you know, we brought up the, goblins before. I actually really like the goblins, and the fact that every time I see the goblins in Superior and I cringe, that says a lot.
Well, and I miss a lot of the middle stuff, but they just kind of like appear at the end of the issue and they're like, "Eh, we're doing some bad stuff." Yeah, and then they
twirling their mustache and they have curly,
looking at
they
the
have
stock ticker or something.
Yeah, they have his ex-girlfriend tied to some train tracks.
Oh, terrible. Don't say it too loud, because that's going to be what Dan Slott writes next. Oh.
I know. It's genius, and he's going to write it down. oh, God. That's pretty bad. Actually, you know what? The best Superior issue that I've read in a while was the last issue of Superior Spider-Man Team-Up, the one with him and Namor.
Oh, that's the Chris Yost stuff, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I tried reading the first couple, and for some reason they ended up sitting on the bottom of my stack for like 6 weeks, and I never, or more than that, maybe, I think I missed 3 or 4 issues.
Yeah,
I never ended up reading it.
Yeah, some of it's actually really good, and then a lot of it's just kind of like meh, but like even the meh issues are a lot of times better than what Slott's doing.
Well, I did feel that at the beginning there, that Chris Yost wrote this Spider Oc much better than the guy who created it and thought of it.
Oh yeah, he's the only reason that I was even remotely interested in the whole concept.
Yeah, because he was doing
Avenging.
Right, Avenging Spider Man, and he was Superior for a while, and then they redid it or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know what? I thought about maybe getting the trade because the trade came out what, last month, something like that.
Something came out.
Yeah, I thought about picking it up, but I still at my heart, deep in my heart, in the cockles and the subcockles, I don't like the character and I don't like the idea. I just don't.
You don't like Spider-Man?
No, I don't. No, I don't like Spider-Oc. I don't like.
Oh yeah, okay.
I don't like Dr. Spider-Puss. I just don't. I don't like that he's got the stupid Spider-Man or the Dr. Octopus legs now.
Yeah.
I
mean, when you think of, you know what? When you think about it, it's actually a very outdated and very like immature and very 90s concept. Like, oh, this is Spider-Man, but he's a badass now. Like, yeah.
That's a good way to put it. This would have sold and been amazing in the 90s. But unfortunately, it's, 2014.
yeah, and we expect better writing than that. You know, where before, you know, in the 90s, it was all Flash, and you could get away with awful, awful writing.
And maybe now it would be worth something.
Yeah, well, Rob Liefeld is the perfect example. He was all attitude and all Flash, but his work was garbage. His writing was garbage. His drawings were garbage, but you know, he was the Rob, and
I don't know, man. He drew a mean foot.
He did. He couldn't draw feet. There's actually this is so funny. This was a few years ago. Nicole actually didn't, you know, I got her into comics and everything a number of years ago. And, she didn't know who Rob Liefeld was. So I actually showed her an awesome article that was like the top 50, like worst Rob Liefeld drawings.
Oh God. You couldn't have just spared the poor girl and just let her continue being naive and not knowing that terribleness.
I know, but no, she's actually glad because she'll actually like seek out Rob Liefeld artwork and just laugh for hours about it. some of his work in the late 90s on what was he drawing?
X-Force, Deadpool.
The Captain, the Heroes Reborn Captain America.
Oh, with the big chest?
Yeah, with the giant chest and the small head. And
hey man, he was just trying to make the ladies of the Marvel Universe feel, you know, they have an equal.
Oh, yeah. That could be, because that dude had some massive, he had some massive boobies there.
I saw a gif on somebody's Twitter, I don't remember who, and it's that cover, and the chest is like breathing, but it's like really exaggerated, and his like shield is spinning. I don't know why I didn't save it. It was like the best gif I've ever seen. I must have stared at that for a good 20 minutes. I just laughed.
Thanks a lot. Now I'm gonna spend all night. I'm not gonna sleep. I'm just gonna spend all night looking for that gif.
Look for a Rob Liefeld Captain America gif, and it's got to be somewhere. We really like just kind of talking about random stuff, eh? We really get distracted.
No, I actually like it. I think it's more interesting that way.
Oh, I agree. Unfortunately, I have to be the guy that steers us back a little bit. I want to talk about, because we're running short on time, kids. I want to talk about the recently announced Amazing Spider-Man number one for all new Marvel Now, all new shiny, amazing, happy, dancing, singing crap the world Marvel Now.
Oh yeah. Did you know, Tyler? You probably didn't know this.
I probably didn't.
Okay. Amazing Spider-Man number one. This new number one. It's a new number one now. So you should probably buy like 10 or 12 copies because it's going to be worth $1 million.
Well, yeah. Think about how much the first Amazing Spider-Man number one was worth, Derek. I've already got 14 on hold.
Oh, you're killing me tonight.
for all you four faithful listeners that have listened to the first show and are now listening to this show, you know, if you do that, we're gonna call you stupid. So please don't buy 14 copies of Amazing Spider-Man number one. We're totally just pulling your leg.
No. I think the few guys who actually listen to this, I think they're. I don't think they're that dumb.
That's true. They're smart enough to listen to this, or are they dumb enough to listen to this? One of the two. And
Well, either way, they'll know better.
That's true. They got to be smarter than that. I don't know. I didn't really read the concept. I don't know what the premise is. Is Superior ending? Is Superior going to run parallel? Is it going to be a Peter Parker pre-700 Christ? Is it going to be like a pre- and post-crisis thing now? Pre- and post-700? Is that what we're going to start talking about?
I guess so. Oh, God. It's going to be like DC pre, you know, pre- and post-crisis, pre- and, you know, pre- and post-Flashpoint, pre- and post, you know, Zero Hour and...
Batman, everything. But seriously, though, like, is it going to be original Parker? Is it going to, like, you know, Parker Classic is going to come back and this?
Yeah. From what I understand, it is Parker. And I think you know what? Let me look.
You have to have the information up. We're an unedited podcast.
Okay, all right. From what I understand, I guess Superior is ending, from what I can see.
Okay, you think they're going to make it to like 35 issues and then cut? I mean, it's still biweekly, so Amazing Spider-Man number one was scheduled for what, April?
Yeah.
Something like that. So, shit, we could get a lot of issues until then. I'm not going to do the math because screw you guys, but, you know, they could get at least up to 35, I would think, and then, you know, end it and... Maybe, you know, Spider or Dr. Octopus can be the Jedi guy this time, and Peter Parker can try to be all nice and, like, patch stuff up. And instead of, you know, ogling Mary Jane and, you know, being a complete pervert douche, he could be, like, you know, giving her flowers or something, you know. I don't know. I'm trying to turn the whole world upside down, Derek. You got to help me out here.
I don't know. I don't know.
You're still looking for Amazing Spider-Man number one, aren't you?
No, I'm not. No. Actually, no. They're kind of still kind of hush hush about it. They're not really releasing too much, you know, juicy details. From what I understand, you know, it's just Superior's ending. This is, you know, this is coming on, and I guess it is Parker, and that's all they're really saying.
Yeah. Fuck. What was the point of doing it if they're just going to put it back?
Well, that actually, that was my argument from the beginning. I was like, hey, that, you know, this Amazing Spider-Man 2 movie is going to be, you know, going to be out here in about a year or two. I don't understand why they're going to do it, because, you know, they're just going to change it back.
There we go. We're going to get Amazing Spider-Man number one. It's going to be Peter Parker. And then the movie's going to get released, and everybody's going to be happy and holding hands and kissing and, you know, yeah. I don't know, giving cigars to babies, whatever, however that works. And then the movie's going to go away, and everybody's going to kind of forget. And then it's going to be Amazing Spider-Man number 10, where Doc Octopus, you know, takes over his brain.
Well, they have to. Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, they have to. They have to put it back to the status quo for, you know, the five people that will go and see that movie and then go to a comic book shop and want to read the books.
Yeah. Exactly. I just don't get it. Marketing, you got to make money, and if you're not making money, you know, you're why bother when you're in the business of comics, idiots. You know, but damn it, just leave something the same. If you're gonna go all out and you're gonna make this terrible, stick to the terribleness. Go for it, you know.
Yeah, go. Yeah, go balls to the wall.
Don't just, you know, I don't know, go back in time, or, you know, I bet you they end up using like all the time riffs and stuff from the original X-Men coming back, and that's going to set everything back, and like, this never happened, and, you know, like, I wouldn't mind if they treat Superior Spider-Man as like they do with the Clone Saga, where they kind of pretend that it didn't really happen.
Yeah, or like the whole, what was it, the whole, like, one more day thing, or whatever, where...
That one issue where he goes through the little time door or whatever the hell, and the New York's destroyed.
Brand New Day, or was it Brand New Day? I can't remember the names of the arcs now. I've read all this stuff, but Brand New Day, was it Brand New Day, where, you know, whatever.
You can say Brand New Day four more times and I still won't know what you're talking about.
The whole like Mephisto thing and everything.
Brand New Day was 546 and 548. That was after Civil War.
They
made everybody forget he was Parker. Is that what you're talking about?
That was it.
Yeah, that was 546 to like 561.
Oh no, it was one more day. One more. I was right. That was what it was. One more day. 544.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was okay. Yeah, it was one more day. Yeah, that crap. Yeah, they sort of have like swept that under the rug too, and like pretend like that. You know, they just pretend like that didn't happen.
Well, you know, when you own the company, I guess you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not impressed that they're going to go back. As soon as I saw the announcement, it was just like, you know, of course, we all knew it was going to happen, you know.
Well, it was kind of bittersweet for me, because when I saw it, I was, this was my reaction, because I saw the picture, I saw like one of the covers, and then I saw who was writing it. And then I was just like, yeah, oh, crap. So that was my reaction to it.
You know what my biggest reaction was, aside from, you know, the similar reaction of, crap, because Dan's
yeah. Fun. Yeah.
I absolutely hate that they changed the in the logo. Used to be handwritten and used to line up with the angle of the logo, and now it's just like a regular font and it's opposite angled.
Oh, poop on me. I didn't even see that.
Yeah. Here, I'm going to send you a link through this little Skype thing that we got going on. You can take a look.
Skype. All right.
It's seriously, that bugged me, I think, the most at everything, because you knew Slot was going to do it, and you knew it was going to come back.
Mm.
You know, I also don't really like Humberto Ramos' art. He's done better lately, but I don't like that cover at all.
No.
You see the link?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, everybody, we need to give Derek a minute to just let this sink into his brain. Do you see that? Do you see that, Derek?
Yeah, I don't know why it's not. Oh, there it is. Oh. Yeah. It's like a subtle difference, but it's just enough to annoy me now.
it was so subtle that I think I might have been one of the only ones that ever said anything about it, because I never.
Yeah. So yeah.
Maybe I'm just nuts that way, but it's been bugging the crap out of me since I saw it.
Yeah, it's gonna bug me now.
So, I might not. For the five people that listen, go look at the cover. I'll link it on the post on the site, and prepare to be annoyed because that's all you're going to be able to see now. You're welcome.
You ruined it.
Yeah, I ruined Amazing Spider-Man number one by Dan Slott by pointing out the. I'm the one that ruined it, Derek.
Can I just I just wanted to say something about Slott real quick, and not you know, hey, and before I say it, I'll just say this first. If I met the guy, I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm sure he is. I'm sure him and I would have a lot to talk about. However, you know, okay, I find it so funny that I'll be on Twitter and I won't even say anything that mean, and like I won't even like mention him. Like I'll just be like, oh, I really don't, you know, like this issue of Superior, or I really don't like the direction of this, or something like that. And he'll actually, what he'll do is like because he blocked me for no reason. It's not like I was one of the ones supposedly telling him that I was going to kill him or something like that. That I think, you know, if anybody did do that, that's ridiculous.
Definitely.
And I don't condone that sort of behavior at all. However, he'll unblock me, make some nasty sarcastic comment, and then reblock me so I cannot respond back to him. Yeah.
I'm with you there where, you know, I'm sure he's a fine guy. You know, you can have a beer with the guy and talk comics or talk whatever, and it's probably, you know, just fine.
Oh, yeah. But
some of the crap that he did to get back at the people that, you know, harassed him over Superior, and obviously what he did / doing to you is fucking ridiculous. He's a grown-ass man, for Christ's sake.
Exactly, and I'm not even talking to him. I'm talking to other people, and then he'll make these comments, and he'll just say something like, and what was it the last time he said something to me? It was like something to the effect of like, I can't even remember what he said. I'd have to look at it, but it was something to the effect of like, you know, like, oh, you know, you know, when you write Spider-Man, blah, 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 you can do whatever you want or something like that. Like, just, you know, almost like a childish, like throwing it in my face. Like, well, I write Spider-Man and you don't. So,
yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
You know what? If he was more consistent, if the stuff was good, you know, maybe it would be funny that he did this to people. But because it's not that good and because it's not consistent and it's super up and down, I don't really think there's a lot to brag about. Again, the guy could be great. Personally, don't like his work. On a quick side note, I will be reading his Silver Surfer, and the little sampler in the .1 issue was really good.
It was. You know what? I'll give him credit. I actually do enjoy his run on She-Hulk. I actually don't think that's too bad. And that little in that .1 issue, that Silver Surfer stuff was actually really cool.
Yeah, so. You know, we're not all hating and death threats here, you know. We're just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, no death threats, but a little bit of hating.
Yeah. TP is house.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. That's the extent of our annoyance and grievances is, you know, he would get maybe a bag full of poop that's on fire. Yeah.
Yeah. He deserves that.
Yeah. Maybe even two bags. It's okay. One for, you know, ASM 700 and one for the whole rest of it.
Yeah, a big, giant garbage bag full of poo for Superior.
Now we're just getting it snowballed.
All right. That could escalate. That'll, before we know it, we'll...
That escalated quickly.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, man. Unfortunately, though, we are out of time.
Oh, damn.
This is all the time we have to crap on Superior, to love and reminisce Amazing, and to hope for the best and love Bendis and Ultimate Spider-Man. I don't think we got anything else to say. I think that's it, Derek.
I guess we can end it like that. And otherwise, we'll just be talking all night.
That's true. You know what? If you guys are lucky, maybe after Amazing Spider-Man comes out, if we're still doing this because you guys are still listening, we'll do an Amazing Spider-Man Part 2. And we'll do it again. And we'll talk about the reboot. And maybe we won't hate Dad Slott. Stranger things have happened.
It could be.
If you guys got any questions, you guys want to talk, yell at us or argue with us or tell us why you think Superior is great, send us an email. Allcomic, no spaces, no nothing, allcomic@outlook.com. I will look at it and either put it in my junk box or reply to it in sincerity. And maybe we'll answer it on the next show. Speaking of which, spoiler alert for the next show, we are going to be joined by Joey from Allcomic, Caswell, I guess. Mr. Scientist Extraordinaire, Joey Caswell, the science guy. He's going to be a doctor soon, so pretty soon he's going to be, you know, like Doctor Doom, just a fair warning. We are going to talk about Grant Morrison and Grant Morrison's Batman and Robin.
Oh, nice.
Derek is insane in the membrane for Grant Morrison and Batman. And between him and Joey, they've forcibly forced me to buy it and read it. And I might even be able to say a few things. Not as much as them, but hey, we'll talk about it next time. So look out for that. Email us. We're on iTunes. It's on the bottom of the page that you're listening to right now, hopefully, you know, if I did this right. Give us a comment. Rate the podcast. Tell us you hate us. Tell us you know you want to kill us and put our podcast in the toilet and take a picture of it and tweet it to us, you know, however you want to do it.
Throw your laptop in the toilet.
Who's the real sucker now?
Exactly.
Oh, man. But anyway, until next time, this is the Comic Shoot. That's Derek.
Hello. Goodbye.
Tyler. Goodbye. So long. And read comic books.